Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Recordati third quarter and first 9 months 2015 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Marianna Itatzke, Director of Investor Relations of Recordati. Please go ahead, madam.
Hello, good afternoon, good morning to everybody, and thank you for attending the Recordati conference call. Fritz Quindi, our CFO, will be presenting and commenting upon our first 9 months 2015 results. For a better understanding of this presentation, please access the set of slides available on our website, www.recordati.com, under the Investors section and Presentations tab. At the end of the presentation, we will be available for answering any questions that you may have. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Marianne. Good afternoon or good morning to everyone. We are very pleased to comment our first 9 months 2015 results, which confirm sales growth and, in particular, further margin improvement. Consolidated revenue is €784.4 million, which are up by 5.7% compared to 2014. Our margin, as I said, continue to improve. Let's start with EBITDA at 30.7% of sales. EBITDA is €240.5 million, up by 13% compared to last year. Operating income at 27.2% of sales is €213 million, an increase of 18.1%. Net income at 19.4% of sales is €152.5 million, an increase of 23% over 2014. The very solid financial result with continued margin improvement, but we continue also to deliver strong cash generation. Net debt at the end of September is €58.2 million. Here we have a reduction of €127.8 million compared to last year, even after having paid out dividends for a total of €49.2 million, the strong cash generation in the period. Let's now comment our results, starting with our main product sales. We're talking about our corporate products, line number three. Zanidip, Lercanidipina Plain, continue to grow in the first nine months, grow by 4.4%. Sales volumes are growing mainly in Germany, in Turkey, and to licensees, in particular in Australia and in China. Third quarter sales in Turkey are growing in terms of unit and value in local sales, but were affected by the devaluation of the Turkish lira. Now, in sales of our combination of Lercanidipina and Enalapril, we are talking about Zanipress, sales of these products are up by 7.2%, mainly due to the performance of the product in Italy and in Turkey and to the sales to licensees. Let's comment that the overall sales of the Lercanidipina franchise in the first 9 months are of around 140 million, better than expected. Let's Urorec, which is becoming the second product in our portfolio, Silodosin, has been successfully launched in 30 countries with sales of 50.7 million during the first 9 months of this year, up by 18.5%. And this is mainly due to the good performance of the product overall, but I would like to underline the performance in Italy, in Turkey, and in France. Urorec was also recently launched in Tunisia through our direct organization managed by Opalia, the company that we have acquired in Tunisia. Sales of Livazo in Spain, Portugal, Ukraine, Greece, and through a license in Switzerland are €21.2 million, up by 14% due to the good performance in all our markets, in particular Portugal, Spain, and Greece. Other products, corporate products grow overall by 3.9%, and these comprise 19 products sold in multiple territories, 6 of which are OTC products, but overall we have been seeing this product growing in the first 9 months. Let me comment now our specialty indicated for the treatment of rare and orphan diseases. We generated sales of 112.1 million in the period. Here, an increase of 22%, mainly due to the good performance of the sectors in all our territory, as well as a positive foreign exchange affecting our business in the U.S. related to the revaluation of the U.S. dollar. Let's now move on slide number 4, which show the breakdown of our revenue by type of product, and we continue to have our diversified product portfolio. From a geographical point of view, here we are on slide number 5. Let me comment our composition of sales of revenue by geography. Sales of pharmaceuticals in Italy are down by 5%, and this is due only to the termination of the license of Intact as from the month of June 2014. Excluding the sales of this termination, the business is growing, in particular Urorec, Zanipreil and Zanipreil, which are the two brands of the Lercanilpina combination in Italy, and Cardicor are performing very well, as well as the treatment of the rare disease business. Pharmaceutical in France, sales are up by 0.2%, mainly to the good performance here again of Urorec and Metadone, which is a local product, as well to the introduction of Citraflit, the product belonging to Casen Recordati, which now is sold directly by our organization in France. And also we have a growth in the OTC portfolio in our French subsidiary. In Germany, sales are up by 11%, mainly thanks to the significant sales growth of Ortoton, Nitrocarbamol, and of Lercanidipine. The group pharmaceutical business, let me say that the group pharmaceutical business in the USA is only dedicated to the marketing of products for the treatment of rare diseases. Sales in the first 9 months of 2015 are 60 million, and as I said, include a positive currency effect of 10.7 million due to the revaluation of the US dollar, but in local currency sales increased by 15.5%. Very solid performance of our portfolio in the US business. Sales in Turkey are up by 12.6%, and include the negative currency effect following the recent devaluation of the Turkish lira. In local currency, sales of our Turkish subsidiary grow by 14.8%, thanks mainly to the good performance of all our corporate products, in particular Lercadib, Urorec, and Zanipres, but also linked to the good performance of some important local products, such as Mictonor, Creval, and Cabral. But overall, solid performance, in particular in volume, of our business in the Turkish, of our Turkish subsidiary. In Spain, sales are up by 5.7%, mainly due to the performance of Livazo, Pitavastatin, and Lorec, and the successful launch of Pirurec, Alprostazil, a new topical treatment for erectile dysfunction that we have launched in Spain. Sales for the treatment for rare disease are also growing significantly. Revenue generated in Russia, Ukraine, and the other CIS countries is 52 million, which are down in euro by 13.4% compared to the same period of the preceding year, and this is due only to the negative currency effect, which could be estimated for the period in 17.4 million. Sales in Russia in local currency are up by 18.7%. Then good performance on a local base, and this is also thanks to the growth of all products, including the corporate product Porto Glivenor and Murorec. We are now building our corporate product franchise also in our Russian business, but also takes into account the low level of sales generated in the first 9 months last year following the reorganization of the distribution channel in the first quarter. Even excluding this, growing performance of our Russian business. Let me now comment on our sales in North Africa, which are 31.6 million euro, up by 8.7%, and this comprise both the export sales, which are generated by Boucherat Recordati in this territory, in particular in Algeria. We have a very solid presence in Algeria through our Recordati Boucherat subsidiary, and also sales generated by Opalia Pharma, the Tunisian pharmaceutical company acquired during the fourth quarter of 2013. In particular, Opalia Pharma sales in the first 9 months of 2015 are 17.4 million, and these include also the product previously handled by Boucherat Recordati through local distribution agreement in Tunisia. But overall, the previous existing sales made generated by Boucherat and the portfolio acquired by Opalia allow us to have a good performance in our new subsidiary in the North Africa and in Tunisia. Other international sales grow by 11.1% and comprise the sales to our licensees for our corporate product. Here we are talking mainly of Lercanidipine, Urorec, and the combination, but also the Boucherat Recordati and Kadem Recordati export sales, excluding the sales in our subsidiary, and the Orphan Euro export worldwide, excluding the US. This business is continued to grow, and in the first 9 months grew by, as I said, by 11.1%. We can move on slide number 6, which is the geographical breakdown of pharmaceutical revenue, in which you can see that our Italian business is now represent around 20% of our business, which means that we continue to enlarge our international presence of the business. Slide number 7. Our result for the first months of this year show, as I said, further significant margin improvement due to the progressive leveraging of our organization and the good performance of high margin business reflected in the improvement of the gross profit. Revenue has been already commented. Let's move on the cost side. Let's start with the gross profit. Gross profit in the period is 532.8 million, which a margin of 67.9% of sales, an increase over that of 2014, due to higher proportion of higher margin product sales to the total product sales, and also to the termination of the stock in Italy, a relatively low margin product. Then, an improvement of our product mix in the same direction as in the first 6 months. Selling expenses increase less than sales, and here we have the leveraging impact of our organization and are therefore down as a percentage of revenue. This is thanks to the increased efficiency of the group commercial organization. R&D expenses are 55.2 million and are down by 10.9% compared to those recorded in the first 9 months of 2014 due to the interruption of expenses related to the 5-phase 3 clinical trial involving the product NX1207 for benign prostatic hyperplasia under license for Nymos, which was in development last year. G&A expenses are up by 2.1% and are reducing as a percentage of sales. Net financial charges are 10.2 million. Here a decrease of 3 million, which is due mainly to the reduction of interest charges related to medium-long-term loan. We have renegotiated our loan and then we are reducing the cost of our debt. The effective tax rate during the period is 24.8%, an improvement compared to that of the same period of the preceding year, in line with our expectation. Net income at 19.4% of sales, as I said at the beginning, is 152.5 million, an increase of 23% over 2013. As I said at the beginning, very solid and strong financial result. Slide number eight. First, here we present our operating segment revenues and EBIT. In particular, I would like to underline that this slide shows the split of revenues and EBIT between our two business segments, treatment of rare diseases and primary and specialty care. While the segment dedicated to treatment of rare diseases generated 14.3% of our sales, it accounts for 22.2% of EBIT. Then we have a high margin business, but EBIT margin on sales for the both segments is in line with the previous quarter and stands, as I said, at 42%, around 42% for the treatment of rare disease segment, and of around 24-25% in the first nine, was 24.6% for the primary specialty care segment. Then, very high performance margin in the EBIT, but an improvement also in the primary and specialty care segment. Financial position. We continue to have a very solid financial position. We continue to have a very solid cash generation. At the end of September, the net financial position shows a net debt of 58.2 million. Here, a reduction of 127.8 million compared to the last year end. And even after having, as I said, payout dividend for a total of 49.2 million. Then strong generation of cash flow. Slide number 10, to finish my presentation, financial projection and target for the full year 2015. The group business in this period was in line with expectation, and therefore we confirm the full year 2015 targets to achieve sales of around 1.040 million, operating income of around 270 million, and net income of around 190 million. Here I finish my presentation and I am available for any question you may have.
Could you please open the question and answer period?
Thank you. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Eleanor Fung with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my questions. Three questions, please, if I may. Firstly, a few of your peers have highlighted weakness in Russia due to the macro environment. Just curious on how you are thinking about the robustness of the growth trajectory for your franchise in the near term on a constant currency basis. Secondly, on U.S. pricing, wondering if you could share your broad thoughts with us on the pricing environment over the next few years and your ability to increase prices on your U.S. portfolio. And finally, just on your full year guidance, just wondering if there's potential sensitivity to your EBIT guidance, assuming sort of flat gross margins as 4Q14 and the same R&D phasing, it implies quite a high SG&A spend relative to the current run rate. Would love to hear your thoughts on that. Thank you.
In Russia.
Okay, let's start with our business in Russia. Then, as I said during the presentation, we are growing locally in local value by 18%, which is also due to the low level of sales mainly in the first quarter 2014. But even excluding this, let's say, comparable effect, we continue to grow our business in Russia in local value. Then we don't see major risk and major threat in our local business. We expect to continue to have to manage the depreciation of the currency. But as I've always said, we have a portfolio which is fully paid by the patient, and we prudently, let me say, sometime we can increase our price. And our growth in Russia is driven by both volume, but mainly by price increase, which are absolutely in line with the inflation, are a bit less than the inflation rate, and we decide the price increase also based on competitive environment and competitors in the field. Then, we don't expect double-digit growth, but we have no major concern in our Russian business. Second point, U.S. prices. Let me say, we would not expect our business to be negatively impacted by this political scrutiny in the drug pricing in the U.S. We have historically taken responsible pricing action for all our products in U.S. Let me underline that Recordati Rare Diseases offer several medical breakthroughs for the treatment of patients with severe and extremely rare conditions in the United States. Then we don't expect the business to be strongly impacted because, as I said, we have had reasonable price option when the business is not driven by price increase, but is mainly driven by continued new patient, adding new patient to our existing patient. And then let's say that we continue to be committed to working with patient, physician, and payer to ensure that every patient we can benefit from our therapies has access to them. And we have had some price increase, but this was not the only driver for the growth in the U.S. We are gaining patient time by time. The third question was related to our guidance. First of all, let me underline again that our target is around something that is not. We try to be able to predict the future, but we cannot say a perfect number for the full year result. In general, as a general evaluation, I expect SG&A to be in line in the last quarter with the previous three quarters. We could have R&D a bit higher in the last quarter. This was what we expect to have. And sales a bit lower than the average of the quarter. But this is what we expect in terms of full-year result. We will see at the end of the year what will be the final result. But we don't expect, as you said, SG&A increase in the last part of the year. We expect to be essentially in line in absolute value with the third three quarters. Is it okay, Eleanor?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay.
The next question is from Martino De Ambroggi with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. Three questions also for me. You mentioned R&D in Q4 slightly up, I imagine as a percentage of sales or absolute value, and should we expect a similar R&D, 7% of sales also next year, or should be significantly higher? And the second question is on cash generation. Sorry if you already gave some clues during the introduction, but I was wondering what are the elements causing such a huge generation of cash in Q3. And the last is on M&A. I know you will not answer, but we read a lot of rumors, maybe some of them is real or not, but for sure you are looking at a big company in recently rumored, so just to have your feelings.
Okay. First of all, the first question was related to R&D expenses. Then we expect a bit higher R&D expenses. This is an expectation. We see this. In the last quarter, in both as a percentage as a absolute value. For 2016, let me say that at the beginning of February we will announce our full result for this year and our targets for 2016. And then I can confirm what I've already said. We expect R&D to be between 7 to 8, and then we will see budget discussion, program evaluation, and then we will see what will be investment next year in the R&D, because we have not defined the targets for internal targets for the R&D for next year, and this will be discussed November, December internally, and will be announced in early February together with the full year results for this year. So regarding the cash generation, then I agree with you, it was very strong. The cash conversion is higher than the normal rate for us. This is, let's say, based on the good management, let's say it this way. We are controlling our stock, our inventory, account receivable, but is also due to in our working capital, because we have been able in the first 9 months to decrease the working capital, even if we are increasing our business. But this working capital decrease is also due at the end of September to the tax liability, which is due mainly to the fact that in some country, and in particular in Italy, we have some accounts to be paid to the government, to the fiscal authority, not proportionally during the year, but in particular in November. Then, excluding this tax liability effect, I think we have been a bit higher than the average, but not significantly, as could be understood following the number in the first 9 months.
Well, Fritz, if I may. On this subject, if I may, just to have an idea, roughly what's the amount of the tax liability justifying the change in the free cash flow, and should we consider it temporary, or it's something that will be transferred also in Q4 and the year-end results?
Okay, then it's in the cash flow statement, you will see that the increase on the tax liability is around 10.6 million euro. This, unfortunately, we expect to be temporary, because we have to pay taxes, and then we would like to be not temporary, but permanent. But unfortunately, in November we have to pay, and not only November in Italy, but also in the other countries, to pay taxes. Then, let's say this 10 million is absolutely temporary, and I don't expect to see this by the end of the year. Then, the cash generation is mainly impacted by this 11.8 million cash generation at working capital level, which is not in line with the growth of the business. Then it's partially due to this exceptional item. Second point is the third point is linked to acquisition. I can confirm that we continue to be very active in the M&A arena. Regarding some rumor, probably you are thinking about the rumor which are linked to the possible acquisition of Recordati of the Swiss company Colicam, then I can clearly state today that at the request price, we are not interested in this acquisition, then the rumor are not true, and we are not among the final bidders. Then we continue to be very active, we continue to believe that inorganic growth is absolutely important for us. We have cash availability, we have financial capacity, we have management capacity for the acquisition, but we continue to be disciplined and prudent in terms of price, and at the requested price, I would like to again confirm that we are not interested in the acquisition of Polyken. Rumors were not true.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Neil Judge with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hello, it's Jo Walton from Credit Suisse. Three quick questions, please. Firstly, on the net interest, the average of the last sort of 7 quarters, your net financial charge has been about $4 million. You talk about being able to renegotiate the costs of debt down, and clearly in the third quarter, your net interest payment was much lower. Is the third quarter charge a reasonable reflection of the quarterly charge we should expect going forwards, absent any significant M&A? My second question relates to your Turkish operation and how strongly it is growing. You are continuing to grow much more strongly than the background market. How much longer do you think you can do this? And the reason that I'm asking is to get an idea, not just for Turkey, but more broadly, when you make acquisitions, you know, how much longer than the first year or so do you still get significant benefits to enable you to outgrow the market? And my final question relates to M&A again, and if you could just restate, please, your priorities in terms of things like OTC or prescription and geographic area, and perhaps to help us not get too worried about rumors, what's the sort of maximum size that you think you would be comfortable doing?
Okay, thank you for all these questions. Net financial, okay, in the 9 months, we reduce our financial charges. We have, in the second quarter, renegotiated some bank loan, and then we are reducing some credit spread. But the third quarter was also impacted by currency effect, which was positive. Then we believe that the third quarter charge cannot be the base for a full year calculation, because there is also a positive in the period, a positive effect then. But let's say that financial charges, which are in the region of €12-13 million per base, without M&A, based on no remuneration of the cash, could be a good estimation for the full year cost for Recordati. Second point, regarding the Turkish operation, we are doing very well. We are very pleased. We are growing, as I said in the conference call, both the local portfolio, the corporate product. We have been launching all our corporate products, excluding pitavastatin, for which we are in talk with the authority for the pricing. We are growing double digit, 14.8%. But also the market is doing not bad. I remember in the quarterly review that I had with the Turkish general manager there, the market in 2015 has a double-digit growth, could be low double-digit, but we are not doubling the growth of the market. We continue to do as in the past, a bit better than the market, and then it is due to the good performance and good trend, environment trend, and our capacity for our new product essentially to continue to penetrate the market. It is due, as I said, to both good management of the existing portfolio, but the major driver is the launch of the existing drug, for which we have no major risk for our corporate product, and we expect to continue in one positive environment to continue to grow our portfolio. Here again, as for the Russia, we have been impacted by the depreciation of the Turkish lira in the third quarter, while in the first part of the year it was essentially neutral. Now the exchange rate, as you know perfectly better than me, between euro and Turkish lira has been different now. It's very difficult to predict what will be, and we are waiting for the election and we are waiting for the new scenario in Turkey. But the major threat in Turkey we expect to be the Turkish lira exchange rate with euro rather than our capacity to continue to generate volume in this market. M&A, then we, as I said, we continue to believe that this is an important pillar for our development. The priority or the acquisition we are looking for are essentially enhancement of our existing portfolio, which means possible companies, possible products in the existing geography. We are mainly focusing both prescription and OTC product. There is no a preference between the two. In the Western, in the existing geography, with also a particular attention in the Western and the Central European market. Then there is no geographical expansion, the priority behind our M&A strategy, but rather a consolidation of some existing business in the existing geography. Prices, we continue, as I said, to have to be disciplined, to be prudent. We have in some way to accept the price increase, but we are not prepared to pay
the
size. Now the company is a different size compared to the previous the company some years ago, but we continue to believe that the size will be not very high. Then there was this rumor for Polychem, 400 million, which was not something that we wanted to pursue at that value. Then we were interested, but not at this price, and we expected the price to be a bit higher than the average of Recordati, but not significantly higher. Let's say we continue to target the 100-200 million euro acquisition, because for us acquisition is the way for consolidated business, and then we must have a sort of balance between existing business and the new acquired business. Then the target we expect to be in the region of 100-200 million euro. This is a general sentence, which is a general approach. Then we could also approach a bigger one if the price is the right one and the synergies and the integration is important for Recordati. But today we are looking for opportunities in this size.
Thank you very much. I may have missed it at the beginning and I just apologize. Could you tell us what the overall impact of foreign exchange was, both on sales and on profits?
On sales, let's say that in the quarter, the effect was essentially in 1 point, in the quarter was 1.5%. Only in the quarter, while for the full year, based on the different exchange rate, the revaluation of the US dollar is essentially neutral, is a bit negative but not significantly. We are talking about 0.2-0.3%, and it's not something which is relevant in our result, while in the first quarter, one region for the growth which was lower than the previous quarter is also due to this effects on sales, which is, I would repeat, in the region of 1.5%, and the effect on the, let me find, we have a, overall, we have a negative impact on currency exchange losses for the full year, but in the quarter it was positive. I have not with me the number. I will send if you want directly.
That's very kind. Thank you very much.
Very easy. Very.
If we call the effect on the EBIT, then this is minor. We continue to believe that on the EBIT, the effect is not so the same as on the sales, because we have a natural hedging, which is linked to costs which are denominated in local currency. There is one impact, but which is minor, which is you can consider that we have in this business one margin which is in line with the margin of the EBIT margin of the company, then you can calculate this effect as this margin on the sales that we have been losing in the quarter, which means 20-25% of the effect that we have had on the sales on the revenue line.
Thank you.
Okay.
Ms. Tachke, Mr. Squindo, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you. So we'll say goodbye to everybody, and thank you for attending the call.
Bye-bye.